Hi, I'm Kate from Psych for Life. And if you're watching this, you're probably interested in forming some new habits to improve your life. I know I am. If you've watched the Psych for Life sleep video, you might know that I've been working on new habits around my bedtime routine so I can get better sleep. And I'll tell you what, it hasn't been easy. In this video, we will discuss the three core components for habit formation and how you can use them, how to set yourself up to successfully build a new habit, and the best time to start a new habit. Let's start with the three core components of habit formation. For decades, health psychologists have researched what makes habits stick. And the literature has identified these three components that lead to long-term habit formation. One, repeated behaviors. The more a behavior is repeated, the faster it becomes an unconscious habit. Two, cues in the environment. Reminders, such as time and place, can trigger a behavior. And three, rewards. Rewarding yourself during or after the habit encourages you to repeat that behavior again. Let's take a look at how these components can be used to build better habits. Let's start with behavior repetition. Repetition is fundamental to building all habits. You might be wondering, how much repetition is needed to build a new habit? And the answer is, it depends. Not all habits are the same, nor are the people who are trying to build them. Research that tracked how long it took participants to form a range of habits found that on average, it took people 66 days to form a new daily habit, but there was a lot of variability. In the study, participants were asked to choose a daily habit they wanted to implement and to track when the behavior was completed. The researchers found that it took between 18 and 254 days for the volunteers to form their chosen habit. What experts know for sure is the more a behavior is repeated in the same context or situation, the more likely it is to become an ingrained habit. So that means if you're trying to pick up a new routine, such as exercise, you're more likely to form an ingrained habit if you're practicing in the same place at the same time of day. In addition to repeating the behavior yourself, it also helps if you repeatedly see others engaging in the habit that you would like to start. So in our exercise example, we might want to follow social media accounts of others showcasing their exercise routines or hang out in the park where we see people exercising. The second key component for habit formation is situational and environmental cues. Cues are things that we see and hear that remind us to engage in the habit. There are two major ways we can use cues in our environment to our advantage. One, we can plan for the cues, and two, we can use a technique called piggybacking to tie our habits to things that we are already doing. You want to start by identifying strong cues, such as time, after work, or location, in front of the TV, that remind you to engage in the habit, and we'll build those into our plan. Later in this video, we'll talk about the specifics of the plan, but for now, let's just focus on the cues that remind you to engage in the behavior. We'll want to pay attention to what the cue is and what our response is. Sometimes the cue can be something that actually caused us to break our habit. As an example, my husband is working on cutting out snacking late in the evening. The old cue was turn on the TV and get out the snacks at night. Now that the new habit is taking away snacking at night, the same cue, turning on the TV, is now the cue for snack time is over. So I want you to think about, what's your habit? What is it that you want to adopt? Now's a good time to pull out a piece of paper and jot that down. Or just think in your mind, what is the habit I am trying to create? And what are the cues that you could associate with that habit? Maybe it's getting home from work, sitting down on the couch, waking up in the morning, brushing my teeth at night. What's your cue that you can associate with the habit you're trying to create. Speaking of brushing your teeth, now we're going to talk about piggybacking. Piggybacking refers to tying a habit to something you already do, like brushing your teeth. When we're piggybacking, we're essentially using an old ingrained habit as a cue for a new habit we're trying to adopt. Research has shown that when we engage in the existing habit first and use that as a cue for the new habit, it's most effective. Flossing is a great example of piggybacking. Most of us brush our teeth regularly. It's an ingrained habit. But we might want to be flossing more. So in this instance, we are using brushing our teeth as the cue for flossing. Interestingly, studies have shown that people who were told to floss after brushing their teeth picked up the habit faster than when people were told to floss before brushing their teeth. Essentially, the study supported using brushing our teeth as the cue for flossing. The third key component for habit formation is the use of rewards. I'm sure you're not surprised to learn that rewards help in habit formation. We can use both internal and external rewards to promote our habits. Some habits are rewarding because simply doing them gives us a sense of pleasure and satisfaction. These are internally rewarding habits. Let's take listening to music as an example. Perhaps we want to relax by listening to music. We probably feel that satisfaction and the pleasure of the music almost immediately. That's an internally rewarding habit. However, for most habits, the internal rewards are often experienced in the long term. Let's take exercise as an example. There are plenty of internal rewards, such as increased muscle strength, endurance, and overall health and wellness. But actually, in the short term, there can be quite the opposite of rewards. Let's say sore muscles or fatigue, or simply not wanting to do it. So to get us through these early phases where we're not yet experiencing the internal rewards, we can apply external rewards. An example of this might be listening to our favorite music while working out or celebrating the workout by rewarding ourselves with a healthy snack. When choosing a reward to help you build a new habit, you should keep in mind these two guidelines. One, the reward should help you build repetition of the new habit. And two, we need to make sure that the reward doesn't conflict with the overall goal of the habit itself. For example, let's say you're trying to build a new habit of exercising 3 times a week to increase your overall health and well-being. What we don't want to do is celebrate that workout by going through the drive-thru to pick up fast food. That conflicts with your overall goal. What many of us do is go out and purchase some new workout clothes that make us feel good. This is a good external reward, but it doesn't promote repetition of the behavior. An even better reward would be to sign up for that dance class or biking class that occurs 3 days a week so you can commit to going. Or if you do find yourself motivated by having new clothes to wear, perhaps you pick out a specific piece you want, determine how much it costs, and after each workout, put a dollar in a jar. That way, once you've accumulated enough workouts, you've earned your new piece of clothing. Now that we know that habit formation requires behavior repetition, cues, and rewards, we can figure out how to build these components into your daily life to increase the odds of building a new habit. There are 3 keys that are important to this. Number 1 is making a plan. 2 is starting small, and 3 is finding the best time to launch your plan. Research has shown that the key to making a plan that works is to make it specific. Researchers Milne, Orbol, and Sheeran wanted to investigate this further. They divided up 248 participants into 3 groups with the goal of building an exercise habit over 2 weeks, a control group, a motivation group, and a plan group. The control group was asked to track how often they exercised during the 2 weeks of the study. The motivation group was asked to track their exercise, and they were given reading materials on the benefits of exercise. Finally, the plan group were given the same instructions as the motivation group, but they were also asked to fill out a plan. The plan was only a sentence long, but it specified when and where the behavior would be done. For example, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon, I will jog for 20 minutes in the park. Which group did the best? The group that made the plan. While about a third of participants in the control and motivation groups exercised at least once a week, a full 91% in the plan group did. Later studies confirm that making a simple, specific plan about when, where, and how we intend to take action boosts our chance of success in building a wide array of habits. And it doesn't just work with exercise. Other research confirms that when we make a specific and simple plan about when, where, and how we plan to take action, it supports our success in building a wide array of habits. As you make your plan to build a new habit, you want to make sure that the habit itself is simple and easy. You'll also want to make sure that the habit is something within your control. So, for example, you don't want to make the habit of losing weight. Your habit should be of eating healthy. Making a habit easy may involve breaking it down into smaller chunks that fit well into your routine. For instance, instead of planning to do 30 minutes of exercise every day right away, you might want to start early on with 10 push-ups when you get up in the morning. And then you can slowly build this habit out into different things until you're up to 30 minutes a day. Tailoring your environment to remove barriers is another way to set yourself up for success with the habits you're trying to build. As an example, in my house, we were trying to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables. Our barrier was the time it takes to wash them and cut them up. So I started a habit on Monday morning of washing and cutting all of our fresh fruits and vegetables and putting them out in a bowl called the community bowl for us to snack on instead of unhealthy snacks. What I found is that by Tuesday, the community bowl was gone. It meant I needed to cut more fruits and vegetables by Wednesday, but that was okay because we were eating more. Later on in our section on sticking to habits, we talk about the concept of an accountability partner. That's someone who can work with you to help each other stick to the new habit. Although there's no perfect time to start a new habit, researchers have found that it's useful to start when motivation is high. We're especially motivated to start new habits on days that mark a beginning of some kind. Researchers call this the fresh start effect. New Year's Day might be the most popular option that most of us think of, but fresh starts happen all the time. The beginning of a week, for example, or a month, or a semester, or personally significant days like our birthday. Sometimes they come with life transitions, such as moving to a new home or starting a new job. Experts suggest that these days demarcate the passage of time and help us separate in our minds the way things were before and the way they will be now. And that helps increase our motivation and stick to our habits longer. So if you are planning to start a new habit, pick your fresh start day, set a plan, and go for it. Here are some key takeaways on how to start a new habit. 1. The three essential components of habit formation are repetition, cues, and rewards. 2. Make your habit easy. 3. Set up a specific plan of when and where the habit will be performed. 4. Use the concept of fresh start days. New Year's can be good, but also consider other significant days like the first day of the week, your birthday, or a new semester. These techniques can help you build new habits. If you have habits that you want to stop, check out our module on breaking habits. Or if you want to really sustain your habits, check out our video on sticking to habits. I'll see you there.